9 p.m., and it is time for Skald's Hull. My name is Brian McDonald. I am your host, and our program has been moved from 1 p.m. on Fridays to 9 p.m. on Fridays. And why do we do that? Well, it's quite simple. It's so that we can better understand and appreciate the audio dramas and radio dramas and all other sorts of wonderful spoken word entertainment and entertainers that come our way. It is the sort of thing that is best understood, best experienced, at a time when we can sit back and relax and enjoy programming that's more than a couple of minutes in length. So, without further ado, we're going to be taking a listen to the audio drama series that was created after the Witch Hunter series, which I had been playing on my show during the afternoon slot. And if you're curious about it, go back to our podcasts and take a listen, or you can just go and do a search for the Witch Hunter Chronicles. It is easily found, and we will go into where to find it a little bit later. But coming up right now, we're going to be having the first episode of The Will of the Wood. And this is another audio drama series created by the same team. They're a very talented, very wonderful team. So let's take a listen here on Skald's Hull at CITR 101.9 FM.
Once upon a time, there was an infinite forest. No matter how far any traveler would venture, they would never reach the end of the trees. There were places where beeches stood tall and solemn, like columns in a cathedral. Dark places where pine trees huddled close together, and places where ancient, gnarly trees rested, old enough to have forgotten their own names. But throughout all of the woods, the same presence could be felt. Some called it the heartbeat of the woods. Others knew it as the spirit. But most simply called it the will of the woods. Nobody quite knew what it was, but all knew that gave life to everything. The woods were in harmony, for whatever happened within them, every creature felt the rhythm of the wood's heartbeat in its soul and acted accordingly. Deep in the heart of the woods, there stood a tree, almost three times the size of any other tree around it. It had been dead for many ages. In fact, its entire crown was gone. But the trunk of this once magnificent tree still stood, proud and tall. On its rough bark, enormous mushrooms grew. These mushrooms were so large that perhaps one could have imagined fairies living inside of them. The creatures in its mushrooms were indeed quite real, but they were not fairies since they didn't have wings. But perhaps they could be called elves, being tiny and having pointy ears. These elves had built an entire village within the hollow trunk of the tree, and each mushroom was like a small building protruding from a larger structure. Within the tree, a huge spiral staircase connected the mushrooms of the 300 elves who lived there. Among the elves, no one was particularly rich or deemed better or more important than any other, but one among them was exceptional, and his name was Saffredon. Elves age very slowly, so slowly that some of the oldest among them still look like they're in their 20s. But Saffredon was so old that he was the only one among all the elves to have a beard. A long, snowy beard and equally long whiskers reaching to his feet. His hair was draped around his shoulders and his brows were like white wings reaching out. He lived alone in the roots of the tree, and as the village wizard, he was the eldest and most respected among all elves. His counsels were held sacred by everyone. And yet, few of them ever visited him, keeping a distance out of awe and perhaps a bit of fear as well. Most of them, except one, his pupil, young Nuzwik.
Shut the door, Nuzwik. Well, take off that cloak and sit down.
Master, some time has passed, and I'm afraid nothing's changed, really.
My dear boy, how many times must I tell you? Patience. Patience is a virtue you will need to learn.
I'm not sure I even want to be patient anymore.
If you don't know what you want, you won't find it, lad. Cease troubling your mind and wasting my precious time.
I'm sorry, Master. It's just that I would so dearly love to be...
Like me? You will never be exactly like me, Nuzwik. And it will take you at least another 500 years to grow a beard like mine. Small steps, boy, small steps. The broodleaf juice?
Yes, please.
Right. Now, what is the purpose of your visit on this late hour?
As I said, some time has passed, and...
And nothing's changed. I know. I know what you're feeling, my lad.
You do?
It is the will of the woods. I felt it too when I was your age, and as a youngster, it took me some time to learn how to deal with it. I know what it's like, that overwhelming power, that intensity, that, like the life force of all the woods and all their denizens are flowing through your veins, your heart burning like the sun.
Master, I don't know if what I'm feeling in my veins is in fact the will of the woods.
Of course it is, my boy. You are the new village wizard. I foretold it upon your birth, and I know it with all my being. You will be my successor.
I don't think it's the heartbeat of the woods that I feel, but my own. And I don't think my heart is burning for the harmony of the Great Spirit, but rather for...
But what?
Well, for Marilia, you know.
In love. That's all. You're simply, mundanely, everyday, run-of-the-mill in love.
Which doesn't mean I do not intend to follow in your footsteps, Master.
Yes. Well, yes. It is a disappointment, to be frank. But all right. I assume you are indeed a bit young to be hearing the call of the will at this stage.
And what are my feelings for Marilia?
Knows. Weak, my boy. At some point. But that is not my...
You are the wisest of all elves.
Wise? Oh, yes, I suppose I am. And that's why I can tell you now. Nothing, no one is going to be a better guide for you than life itself.
I do need some advice, Master.
Dear boy. And that is why you come to me. Listen, friend. All the advice in the world will not help you in this, because when you're in love for the first time, you will behave like a foolish creature, no matter how hard you try not to. All I can tell you is, don't worry too much about it.
Oh.
And go and see her tomorrow. Give her a flower. Go on a walk together and tell her what's on your mind. And try not to make a mess of it.
Thank you, Master. I think...
One of the smaller mushrooms that clung to the tree's bark was home to the blueberry family. The father was called Balm Blueberry, a carpenter. Mother Blueberry was Tanna, the weaver. The blueberries also had a daughter, Marilia, and she was probably the most beautiful of all the elven girls in the entire tree. Marilia had long, flowing, dark hair and deep sapphire eyes that that reflected the light of the sun, and turned it, in young Nuswick's opinion, into an unusually bright star shining in the cool blue firmament of a summer's evening. The young wizard's apprentice had discovered this particular quality of hers some time ago, and since then he had been quite eager to tell Mirilia of his opinion, but to date at least he had lacked the courage to do so. Although Mirilia was approaching womanhood and Nuswick was still a few years younger, the pair of them were very close friends. Nuswick's parents had died when he had been no more than a tiny elf toddler, and the Blueberries had gladly taken it upon them to welcome one more elf into their family. And so, little Nuswick had spent his earliest years with the Blueberries, right up until the moment when the old wizard Saffredon had chosen him as his apprentice. Mirilia, who rarely saw the old wizard, was very curious about the old elf, and she was often eager to learn more about the wisdom that Saffredon taught Nuswick. That morning, Nuswick had a plan, and it involved a flower. He rose particularly early out of the little room within the tree roots where he lived, and hid beautiful and delicate pathways, bridges, and steps carved inside of the tree. And so, he made his way to an irregularly shaped door that led to the mushroom where the Blueberry family lived.
Ma, Nuswick lad, good to see you. What have you got there, a flower?
Yes, it is. It's for Mrs. Blueberry.
Ah, well, how ridiculously sweet of you, boy. Well, go on, come in. You know the way, don't you? Look here, Tanner. Nuswick's got a flower for you.
A flower? For me? Oh, how nice.
Here you go, Mrs. Blueberry.
Thank you, Nuswick. But may I ask, what's the occasion?
Oh, you know, some flower giving never hurt anyone, did it? Anyway, Mrs. Blueberry, do you happen to, know, perhaps were Mirilia might be finding herself currently, as it were, since I need to ask her about some things.
I'm afraid you've just missed her, boy. She went outside to pick some flowers.
I see. Well, I'll be off then.
We were just about to have breakfast. Aren't you hungry, Nuswick?
Short on time today. Bye.
Hey, Mirilia.
Nuswick! How good of you to turn up. I was just about to go look for you.
Oh? Why?
Why not?
By the way, do you feel like taking a look at the fallen hollow tree?
Why?
Well, why not?
Nuswick. The woods beyond the fallen hollow tree are no different from the woods here. You only think there's something special about that place because Saffredon told you that the tree marks the border of our land.
Saffredon also told me that the land belongs to no elf, but that all elves belong to the land, so...
So, does that mean our land doesn't end there?
No, but it means Saffredon is only saying those things to keep us young elves close to our tree instead of looking for trouble farther on.
Which is just why you're so keen on taking a look over there, isn't it? I get it. All right, I was going to go look for woodland anemones anyway, and I can't find them over here.
But speaking of flowers, I know you love flowers, so I gave one to your mother.
That's kind of you, Nuswick.
It was meant for you, actually, the flower. I just got nervous. Not that I don't like Mrs. Blueberry, I think she's great, but I just thought,
Come on, let's go look for that fallen tree of yours.
Nuswick and Mirilia happily made their way through the trees until they reached an enormous trunk that lay hollow, half sunken in the ground, looking like some dark cave. Green tendrils of parasite plants hung despondently from the entrance. It was like a gloomy tunnel to the woods beyond, and whatever lay there was unknown to both elves, as even Nuswick had never dared to tread beyond that place. Still, however forbidding it looked, that place exuded a strange attraction to Nuzwick, who liked nothing more than trying to climb it as far as he could without slipping.
Come on, Nuzwick, get down from that trunk. I know you can reach the top. You don't need to show me.
Almost there.
Silly boy. Nuzwick?
I made it.
I can see that. Now let's see if you can make it down without hurting yourself.
You should come up, Marilia. I can see the woods beyond.
Never mind that, Nuzwick.
And I can see... Hey, that's odd.
Come down, Nuzwick, before some creature from beyond takes sight of you.
Don't be silly, Marilia.
Come on, jump down. Remarkable how quickly you made your way down once I mentioned those creatures.
I've seen something interesting on your side. It's really not far.
What did you see?
It looked like some sort of, well, like a construction, really. A large gate or something.
Nuzwick, we came down here for woodland anemones.
You did? I know. I came for adventure.
Haven't you been adventurous enough for the day?
No, because I've seen something and I want to know what it was. And who knows, maybe we'll find some anemones too along the way.
What is that?
It looks like a root sticking out of the earth, twisting to form a gate.
Yes, but what is that? Those markings in the roots above it.
Writing. Words.
What does it say?
It seems to be some form of ancient elven. Difficult to read, but wait. It says... Gate of... The world. And then there's a bit of moss covering the text, but after that there are three lines with the word loose in them.
Loose? Loose what? I don't like this, Nuzwick.
Wait, I can read the top one. The wise will lose their destiny.
And then?
The carvings are fading a bit, but wait. That word means... Evil or evildoer will lose eternity, and then there's innocence or the innocent lose elf self himself. That's it. The innocent will lose themselves,
and the evil ones lose eternity.
Strange.
So. The gate of the world, the wise will lose their destiny, the evil will lose eternity, and the innocent will lose themselves.
Must be an ode saying us something, although I wouldn't understand what it means.
Well, obviously, if you step through the gate, you will lose something.
Oh, come on, you can't be serious.
Flowers now.
Yes, of course. Flowers. Look there, beyond the gate. There are some flowers there.
On this side, there are just as many, Nuzwick, so stop it.
And yet, there is something about this gate. I want to see what lies beyond it.
You can see that, can't you? Trees, moss, flowers, nothing special.
Maybe we'll find something over there.
Like what?
Something no other elf has ever had. Something... special.
Come on, Nuzwick.
Let me just put my hand through it, Marilia.
No, come on.
It won't hurt. Just my hand. Just let me try.
Nuzwick.
Look. I'm moving my hand through the gate.
And it's still attached. That's a good thing.
But it feels so... weird. It tingles.
There must be magic involved. Stay away, Nuzwick.
I want to go through.
No, Nuzwick, stop it. Think. You're so curious. Come, let's go pick some flowers.
I need to know what's beyond this gate, Marilia.
No, Nuzwick, you don't. Please don't do this. It's dangerous. Nuzwick. Nuzwick!
Mom! Dad!
Marilia, what's wrong?
Nuzwick's gone! He's gone!
Gone? What do you mean?
We were picking flowers in the woods and he saw a gate and you know what it's like and then he passed through and I tried to stop him but he's gone.
Gone where? He can't just have vanished.
He did vanish. He just stepped through the gate and he wasn't there anymore.
That's not possible. Is it?
It was magic. I saw it. He just disappeared. He's gone. He's lost.
There, there.
Oh. Oh, no. Bomb. I think I know.
What?
That gate.
You don't think it's...
It could be.
What are you talking about?
We must speak to Saffredon. Come on, Marilia. Off through the roots of the tree.
Marilia's parents hastily guided their daughter out of their home and sped down the many stairways within the tree, ignoring the concerned frowns of onlooking elves. Throughout the journey, Marilia could barely refrain from crying, despite many comforting words from Tenna and leading them down into the depths. The tunnel was brown and sandy, and would have been dark were it not for the many little lanterns that spread a warm, yellowish light along the way. Here it was quiet, deserted even, compared to the busy village above. Finally, they reached the end of the tunnel and a round door with a large copper knob holding a ring in the middle of it. They anxiously knocked on the door.
Nuzwick.
Now, it's us!
Do you think he'll even let us in?
What's going on here?
Something's happened to Nuzwick.
I might have known. Come in. What happened?
Nuzwick, he passed through a gate and now he's gone.
She described it as... Well, it reminded us of...
A gate, you say? By the will. No.
What are you talking about? I want to know.
Marilia, what did the gate look like?
It was made out of branches and it had words carved into it.
You never told the children.
We assumed it was just a story.
Just a story. Saffredon's stories are never just stories, you foolish elf. Be gone now.
But Saffredon...
Leave us. I need to speak to Marilia.
It's all right, Bomb. Let's just do what he says.
I understand. We'll be right back then.
No, you won't. I'll send Marilia after you. Poor, foolish girl. Do you have any idea what you've gotten yourself into? Oh, dear. Sit down. Don't cry. I'll give you something to calm down. Just a moment.
I don't need to calm down. I need to know what happened to Nuzwick.
All right, all right. Well, Nuzwick has passed through the gate of the world. Do you know what that is?
No, I don't.
That's what your parents should have told you. I explained it to them when they were young. The gate of the world is a place you must avoid. It's the beginning and the end of the infinite woods. You see, even though our world has no end, there are still other realms beyond it.
Beyond that gate?
I fear so.
And that's where Nuzwick has gone.
Nuzwick, I fear, has gone to the larger world. The world where the will lives, where it originates.
I don't understand.
The true meaning of the gate remains a mystery, even to me, Marilia. It is beyond our understanding, created by a force older than the eldest trees and more powerful than the greatest sorcerer. I had hoped it would not appear here.
But it looks so old, like it had always been there. How could you not have known it was here?
The gate is mysterious. It can be found in the least expected places, and then suddenly vanish again the next day.
But how can Nuzwick ever return then?
Marilia, you said there were words carved into the gate. Do you know what they said?
Yes. Nuswick translated them for me. It said, the gate of the world, the wise will lose their destiny, and the evil will lose eternity, and the innocent will lose themselves. But I don't understand any of that.
I fear the meaning of those words is not always the same. But one thing is clear to me. Nuswick was an innocent.
You mean he... he's lost himself? What does that even mean?
I dare not say, Marilia. To be honest, I'm not sure. I'm not sure if he can come back. I don't know if this is somehow part of his purpose in the will of the woods, or if he's just gone.
Do you mean he may be dead?
He's not dead, Marilia. He's somewhere else. And the will is looking out for him.
That sounds like he's dead.
I don't know, Marilia. It's hard to say. Hard to realize. He may not return. I'm sorry. I don't have the power to help you.
Marilia and Saffredon shed silent tears together, until Saffredon summoned Balm and Tanner and told them of Nuswick's disappearance. They were deeply saddened by the news. A week later, a ceremony was held in the tree in remembrance of Nuswick. All elves present were deeply saddened, and some wept openly, but no one felt the hurt that had struck Marilia. She felt broken inside, as if a great part of her heart had suddenly been stripped away and the world itself was lost. As Saffredon tenderly described the bright pupil and the happy boy that he had known, Marilia quietly sunk into despair. In the days that followed, life in the tree slowly regained its normal pace, and over the months, the horrid memory of Nuswick's disappearance faded. For Marilia, however, a deep, terrible emptiness remained, and she knew that a gaping hole could not be filled by anything less than Nuswick's return. She turned inwards, becoming lonesome and quiet. She spoke only to her parents and to Saffredon, who had come to enjoy the girl's presence more and more over time. She took to visiting the old wizard more frequently and learning ever more about the woods from him. She couldn't quite say why, but in convert... Autumn turned to winter. And as the elves prepared for the encroaching months of darkness and started to make ready for the annual winter festivities, Marilia still often wandered alone in the woods. One dark, snowy night, as Marilia's parents were having a drink in the tavern mushroom, a patron entered the room with most unexpected news.
"Just look outside, Tanner. The woods are dark and the snow's deepening. It's getting dangerous for us elves."
"I know. And still Marilia keeps going out there, on her own no less. I'm worried, Balm. The woods are looking grim and lonesome."
"Grim and lonesome. Sounds like Marilia herself. It's like the only one she still really talks to is Saffredon."
"I think she's still upset with us, for not telling her about the gate."
"We should have told her, but I'll admit I never really believed the stories myself. Did you?"
"No, but I certainly do now. There's more in the woods that can be dreamt of by us, and we often forget how small we really are. To go too far out there, or too late in the night. I'd wanted to stay here and enjoy the winter festivities."
"Look,
David Spore, the lumberjack.
Landlord, the strongest drink you have. I got a strange tale to tell.
What's wrong, boy? You look like you've seen a ghost.
Ha, ha, ha. That's hitting the nail on the head, friend. Come, fill my acorn cup.
Watch out, this is a stiff drink.
There's no drink on earth that'll settle my nerves.
Enough mystery, old friend. Tell me what happened.
Well, it's a tale that will raise the hairs on your back, freeze the blood in your veins, and have your teeth clacking in sheer terror. A tale of supernatural horror and gruesomeness. A tale...
Why don't you just tell me the tale and I'll find out how scary it is then.
All right. Well, this morning I got up to chop some wood for the fire. But what with all the snow, I couldn't find anything dry enough. So I went a bit deeper in the woods, you know, beyond that fallen tree. Now, as I went, I thought it'd be a good time to hunt some snow mouse. So I took my bow and a shaft of arrows. I found some dry branches and was blithely chopping along when suddenly I saw footprints. Not a doubt in my mind, snow mouse. So I went on and on in the woods, all the while thinking of a nice hot meal that was awaiting me so hard that I lost track. I didn't find no snow mouse, and on top of that, I was lost. Hey, don't give me that look. You know how easy it is to get lost out there, especially with all the snow and everything looks the same.
I'm not saying anything, Bor. Go on.
Well, as I said, I didn't catch anything, and it was getting late, so I was in a pretty foul mood as I was trying to remember the way back. And on top of that, it was getting dark, and I was sick of the cold. Now, as I was trying to find my way, I suddenly came by some part of the woods I couldn't remember seeing before. The trees were a little closer together there, forcing me to climb their big roots all sticking out. So I crawled and I climbed, and all the while losing my temper as I went on. And then it was that I heard the sound.
A sound?
The ghastliest sound that I have ever heard. At first it was like a hissing of sorts. But then I realised it were breathing. Like someone having trouble breathing. I was so startled I just stood there listening. Looking around, I didn't see anything, so I crawled on and landed in a dark place between the roots of four gnarly old trees, and then I saw it.
What? What did you see?
A kind of shadow. At first I thought it were nothing, but then it started moving. Quietly, it sort of glided rather than walked. I thought it was someone wearing a dark hooded cloak, but then I saw the hands. No, not hands, claws. These were claws with fingers like long, pale spider legs. It glided past me, just breathing like that, and then it disappeared into the woods. I just stood there, holding my breath for at least an hour.
Holding your breath for an hour?
Oh, it's a figure of speech, but the rest is all real. No exaggeration. I've never been so scared in all my life. And I can tell you one thing, friend. You won't see me going into the deeper woods this winter. There's some evil there.
I think I need a drink myself.
Did you hear that, Tanner?
Woods on safely.
Still just as cold outside.
Come, let's go home.
Close it, Bon.
Our dear daughter's here.
Morning, Mum. Morning, Dad. Here's your juice. Hungry?
Go ahead, Mum. What is it?
What is what?
Come on, you never pamper me like this unless there's something you want to tell me. So just go ahead and tell me.
Well, that's your mother for you.
It's just, well, your father and I both, together as a joint unit, feel we should warn you, for lack of a better word.
We went to the tavern last night and we met Boar the lumberjack.
Oh?
And?
He was telling a story of something he'd encountered. It seems the woods aren't safe as they used to be anymore.
Not safe? What do you mean?
Well, it seems that certain beings, entities, things have been seen. Creatures.
Or a creature, at least.
So what? Do we need to fear other creatures? Or was there something special about this one?
Marilia, you know we understand your need to wander the woods on your own. But after what we've heard, this thing sounds truly dangerous. It was cloaked and hooded.
And it had claws, didn't it, Tanner?
Yeah, that's what Ball said. Claws like spider legs.
So what's wrong with wearing a cloak and claws like spider legs? That sounds a bit over the top. Are you sure Ball wasn't just drunk or something?
He didn't look drunk to me, but well, you never know with him. But still, who knows what evil lurks in the dark?
You've heard the stories Saffredon told Nuz.
Yes.
That he told everyone.
Yes, I've heard the stories he told Nuzwick, Mum. And Nuzwick told them to me. The monster whose body is shadow, the Dorsals, the wraith of the Black Hand. But I don't believe this thing Boar has seen has anything to do with any of those things.
We just want to warn you. It's winter, the nights are cold and dark, and you don't know what's to be found in the deep places of the woods.
Exactly. So why say it's dangerous when you are? But none of this.
Just listen to your parents, young lady. Just don't go into the woods on your own at night, all right?
All right. All right, I won't.
Marilia did intend to keep her promise, but it was very hard for her not to answer the call of the deep woods. Weeks passed, and the winter festival came. It was a joyous night that brought some warmth back to Marilia's heart. Presents were given, and Saffredon entertained the elves of the tree with magic displays that excited everyone, even those old enough to have seen his craft at work many times before. Months passed with Marilia attempting to adjust to a new life, but as the winter came to its end, and the first soft bird songs and timid flowers of spring arrived, she felt something else rise up in her heart, a sense of hope, and with it, a deep desire to go out into the wild and explore. One morning, awakened by the blackbird's song, Marilia came to a decision. After breakfast, Balm and Tanner took up their menial tasks of the day. Balm retreated to his workshop to finish a piece of furniture, and Tanner continued her knitting. Meanwhile, Marilia quietly left the mushroom and descended all the way to the roots of the tree, to Saffredon's study, who was hard at work writing a book.
Just enter, Marilia. There's no need to knock, Marilia. I know when it's you. I can sense it. What's on your mind?
Saffredon, I want to ask you a question.
There's a novelty. What is it, my dear?
Is it always wrong to be disobedient to your parents?
That's a very suspicious question, Marilia. What are you up to? Come on, tell me.
Well, they keep saying I shouldn't go into the woods at night anymore.
To be honest, I can't disagree with them, Marilia. What do you expect to find there, anyway?
Lately, I've been going outside a lot in the evenings, and sometimes it's late when I return. It's just, I want to be outside. I want to be out there. My heart tells me there is something really important for me there.
And your parents are aware?
I've been sorry for me ever since Nuzwick disappeared.
And why do you think they don't want you to do that anymore?
Well, ever since Boar the Lumberjack mentioned he saw something in the forest, you know.
Ah, yes, that story. It has reached my ears as well. A black hooded robe and claws. Could be anything, really. Could be dangerous, Marilia.
I suppose so. But still, I'm not afraid. Somehow, I feel I don't need to be. Is that strange?
Marilia, sometimes I think you have a special gift.
A special gift? Me? I don't think so, Saffredon.
You should listen to yourself sometimes. You don't even notice the words you use, do you? My heart tells me there is something in the woods. I feel I don't have to be afraid. You simply feel things, Marilia. Things the other elves may not feel. Do you know what I think?
What?
I think the woods themselves are speaking to you, Marilia. And that is something Balm and Tanner will not be able to understand.
Saffredon, nobody understands the will better than you do. What's the meaning of all this?
My dear Marilia, I can never know that. Only you can. I can only surmise that the woods are speaking to you, calling to you, summoning you. And that is something you can't afford to ignore.
You're right. I want to see that creature that Boar was talking about. I want to know what it is. It may simply be a traveller from some faraway place. Maybe it has seen Nuzwick.
The woods are infinite, Marilia. But still, where Nuzwick went is beyond the woods. Wherever this creature may come from, I doubt it is a place where Nuzwick has been.
And still, I want to know. My whole being tells me that I have to know. But I've made a promise, Saffredon. I told Mum and Dad that I wouldn't go into the woods alone at night.
No need to break that promise, Marilia. If I join you, you won't be alone, now will you?
That night, while Balm and Tanner were peacefully asleep in their beds, Marilia gingerly crawled out of her bed and put on a warm cloak. Holding her shoes in her hands, she tiptoed out of the mushroom and into the trunk of the tree. She closed the door as slowly and as quietly as she could. She then quickly put on her shoes and made her way down the stairway. It was unbelievably quiet in the great hall. Somehow, Marilia felt the new look at all these familiar surroundings, opening the heavy door that would lead her out into the cool night. There, on the moss between the giant gnarly roots of the tree, stood Saffredon the Wise, illuminated by the orangey light of a lantern he bore in his thin hands, his beard waving in the wind. Behind him, the woods felt looming and ominous. Smiling warmly, he waited while Marilia approached him.
Well, where do you want to go, Marilia?
I just want to go to the place where Nuzwick disappeared. It's where I always go, even though the gate is gone.
All right. I'll join you, even though I don't know what we will find there.
Doesn't matter, really. I just want to go.
But you do wish to see this creature?
Yes.
Somehow I have the impression you want to add a however to that reply.
It's nothing. I'm just a little bit afraid now.
Seems to be quite normal to me, my child. Yes?
The monster whose body is shadow. Is it real?
You young elves. Why do you always bring up your fears when you're already frightened?
Well, perhaps because we hope the wise old wizard will tell us there is no need to be afraid.
The monster whose body is shadow. Yes. Yes, it is real. And it wanders through the woods, roaming in dark places. Where there is shadow, the monster might appear.
Well, it's dark now. Where are we anyway?
Near the great fallen tree trunk.
Oh. I was there with Nuzwick today. You know.
I will grant you what you asked, Marilia. But only because it is true. I don't think you need to be afraid of the monster right now. On the whole, it tends to remain close to the black rhododendrons.
How do you know these things, Saffredon?
I learned them from my mentor. and he from his.
But some of the elves must have actually seen those places, visited them.
Oh, yes. There was a time when we ventured deep into the great adventurers who were known around.
That was it. That was the creature. Did you see that light, Saffredon?
Yes, I did, Marilia. For a moment there, it seemed like a flash of daylight lit up somewhere deeper in the woods.
Saffredon,
Marilia, stay close with me. Stay close, my child.
No, I want to go there. I want to go to that place.
But, Marilia, you'll have to understand. I'm too old to be crawling over those big roots and branches.
Then stay here, please. Wait, I need to see this creature.
I thought you were frightened.
I am. But still.
There. There it is.
What? I don't see it.
It's standing right in front of you. There in the dark. You there, dark creature. What are you doing in these peaceful lands?
I want to see it more clearly.
Release her from whatever hold you have on her.
Foolish old man. I have no hold on her. I cast no spell. She has sought me out.
Do not dare to hurt her.
Hurt her? Do you also tell the moon not to hurt the sun? Your commands are as meaningless as your threats are hollow.
What are you?
Now, that is a question worth asking. A question that encapsulates all that I am. My only answer is that I am the question itself. I am, what am I?
Saffredon, let me be alone with this creature. I wish to speak with him.
Marilia, I can't leave you alone here with this dark being, can I?
You said it yourself. You believe in my feelings. And I feel the need to speak with him. Alone.
Is it the will speaking to you?
Yes. Yes, it is.
Very well. I will remain here.
Follow me. Who are you, and why did you seek me out?
My name's Marilia, and I'm just curious.
I don't believe you.
I'd like to know who you are, sir.
Don't sir me, please.
I don't know what to call you.
Nor do I. I don't have a name. But it's nice to meet you, Marilia.
Nice to meet you too. What should I call you?
Call me Wraith. That's what I am, after all. At least I think so.
Nice to meet you, Wraith. But you don't seem to be a Wraith to me. Aren't Wraiths supposed to be spirit beings? You seem to have a real body, like everyone else.
I do have a body, but it is not like yours, Marilia. I seem to be halfway real. I can touch, but I'm not easily touched by anything. I told you I don't really know. Tell me the truth now. Why do you want to speak with me?
Why did...
More questions.
I'm sorry. I'm just looking for answers.
Forgive me. Do go on.
I've lost someone. Someone I cared about a great deal. More than I realized at the time. And Saffredon, the elderly elf you just saw, he told me that Nuzwick, that's the boy I'm looking for, He told me that he might have gone to some faraway place, and I don't know where you're from.
Nuzwick.
But... Elf boy. Cheerful face. Big, wide eyes.
No. Not seen him.
I understand. Well, I suppose I should,
But please don't leave.
Oh, no, no. I wasn't going to. Just, maybe you should tell me who you are, then.
I am a wraith, and a horrid sight to behold. I don't know where I came from, and I don't know where I'm going. I don't know anything. All I know, all I remember, is years and years of wandering. Wandering, wandering, wandering. I know there was pain once, sadness, I think, but even that is lost amidst the shadows, the grey shadows of my past. I wish to pierce those shadows now and find out who I am.
So, you're looking for something out here?
Yes. Yes, like you, I suppose. I'm looking.
Then maybe we can help each other.
Psst. You have not even seen my face.
Then remove your hood.
You humiliate me.
No, I just want to see you.
Eager to find out how ugly I am.
No, I just want to see the person I'm talking to.
Then look at me. Well, what do you think when you see the...
I've never seen so much sadness.
As I thought. The old man will be waiting for you. You should return to him. Tomorrow, I will not return. I move on. Ever on.
Farewell then, Wraith.
Farewell, Mirilia. I notice you're still here.
Have you ever heard of Fultum, the mole alchemist?
I know nothing, Mirilia. Nothing.
I've heard that there's a hole on a day's march from the Fallen Tree, and that's where Fultum lives. He makes potions of every kind, even memory potions.
Memory potions?
Yes, he might be able to help you. Maybe you should go there.
But I don't know the way.
Neither do I, but Saffredon does. Wait here.
Very well.
Saffredon?
Mirilia, what happened?
Nothing, as you can see. I had a little chat with the Wraith. He's rather kind.
Kind? Are you sure?
I am. And I want to go with him, Saffredon.
What are you saying? Mirilia? Are you sure you're not under some spell of his?
I wouldn't know if I was, would I? What do you think?
I suppose you aren't. But I don't know, Mirilia. If I let you leave, your parents will never forgive me.
But what does your heart tell you about this wraith and me?
I cannot deny I feel it too. There is something. A sense of destiny connecting you to him. I even felt it when I first saw him. Perhaps, indeed, it is your fate, and his, to help one another. Even if I cannot see how or why, I never knew the Will of the Woods spoke so clearly to you, Mirilia. I can learn from you.
Saffredon, I'm going. I'm going in search of the truth. For him, for myself.
and above all, for Nuzwick.
Yes, this is the path he must take. The will tells me clearly now. But where it will lead you is beyond any wizard's skill to tell. Perhaps you will find answers, or perhaps only danger. But I understand. You must go.
You don't have to tell my parents. I will write them something.
No, Marilla. I'll tell them. Here, take my lantern. Go. Do not look back. Find the truth. Help that poor creature and bring back Nuzwick. Farewell. I don't know when or if we shall meet again.
Farewell, Saffredon. And thank you again for everything.
Tuned into CITR 101.9 FM, and Storytime continues here on Skald's Hall. Stay tuned for the next episode of The Will of the Wood.
Weary of listening to Uncle's tired old war stories? Had enough of Zuzu's quest for father's favor? Do you want to hear tales worthy of the Fire Nation princess herself? Then tune in to Skald's Hall on CITR 101.9 FM and listen to the very best established and upcoming storytellers in the land. Do it, peasant, for your princess commands you.
Join us Fridays at 9 p.m. for the very best in spoken word entertainment.
Ty Lee, you're not thinking of changing the dial, are you? That's better.
Well, are we off then?
It's still night. You'll probably be very tired. You should rest.
Where am I supposed to rest? I can't go back to the tree now.
I know, but you should still rest.
You're right. I feel tired, but I didn't take anything with me.
I don't need anything to rest. I can do it anywhere, and any time.
Any time?
Of course.
Do you sleep?
Sleep? No. That I don't do. I just turn inward and quiet down.
And what about the cold?
It never bothers me. My cloak and I are one. It protects me against the biting cold of winter and flutters like a breeze on hot summer days. In my cloak, I'm always safe, but never free.
Wraith, your cloak is so long and flowing. Could I perhaps just use a part of it to keep me warm and sleep like that?
I'm a dreaded apparition, Mirelia, and nobody rests in my cloak.
But I'm not afraid of you. I'm so tired. Please let me.
All right, then. Rest in my cloak. And when the sun rises, we will set out together.
Thank you, Ray. So soft. I'll sleep well here.
Good. I will sit and guard you.
That's so very sweet of you, Ray. Wraith, why are you weeping?
I don't know, Mirelia. Just sleep. Tomorrow we will see the mole. He may have an answer for us.
Such a lovely morning. Rather golden in its sunrise, I would say. Most appreciated. Nevertheless, fur comes first, fur comes first. As soon as this point... What was it? How dreadful these twilight years of forgetfulness can be for the scientific mind. Ah, yes, now it returns. The potion. Truly a magnificent concoction of mine this will be. Well, I do suppose it needs a dash of cherry, doesn't it? No one's going to be interested in a tasteless potion. Fairly hard to find cherries this time of year. Rather impossible, in fact. Oh, the horrors of insufficient supplies. Even a brilliant mind such as my own cannot produce any true wonders of invention without the necessary ingredients. Ah, but thus is thus. Is my vision becoming too bad for these glasses, or am I truly seeing a rather unusual sight? Well, well, that's a pretty elven girl. And a rather hideous thing. What would these two be doing in these secluded parts of the woods?
Voltum the Mole Alchemist?
Much of a simplification.
Do forgive me. My name is Marilia.
And your, companion's name would be?
Well, his name is,
Wraith.
Ah. And you are a...
Wraith.
Ah, yes. Well, I suppose I might have guessed that. Are you in any way... dangerous, perhaps?
Foolish old mole. No.
Excellent. Well, a good morning to the both of you, then.
Voltum, sir.
Professor?
Professor, we have come to see you on an urgent errand.
Ah, are you in need of any services, items, information?
Well, actually, sir, Professor, I mean, we are.
Well, why won't you join me in my draughty brewery room?
You mean your laboratory?
Ah, laboratory? such a naive and pre-scientific notion. No, young lady, I mean my draughty brewery room, of course.
Potions in the world can be found right here.
I'll be careful!
Watch out!
But I didn't do anything!
You are standing uncannily and pleasantly, disaster-invitingly close to a contraption of a most fragile nature. Not to be disturbed by curious little elven hands. Just go stand a bit more over there, if you please.
Over here?
Not there!
I'm sorry!
It's nothing. I suppose you couldn't help it.
All right then, Mole.
Yes, Red?
We've sought you out because we are in need of your expertise. Interesting little items you have here. I quite like this one.
Are you quite sure you absolutely positively want to pick up that extremely rare and volatile tree root explosive?
Are you finding it difficult to trust me, perhaps?
No, not at all. Why would you make the...
And Mirilia? Do you think there's any reason to assume she'd harm your possessions? Show some respect.
It's all right, Wraith.
Forgive me. I'm a bit, high-strung. I'm not quite used to keeping company.
That I can tell.
But what can I do for you?
We are actually looking for a memory potion of sorts.
Ah! A memory potion. The kind you use to remember what you have forgotten, right?
Precisely.
Can't remember ever making anything like that.
But Saffredon once told me you created such things all the time.
Saffredon? Pooh! What would a touchy-feely spiritual type like him know about actual science? Very little, I might say. But indeed, I do remember now. I did make potions like that on a regular basis.
Do you still have any?
I am sorry to disappoint you, but I fear I've handed over my last funds to the captain of the rats.
And would you be willing to make another one for us?
Oh, but of course, my dear elven girl. What were the ingredients?
Don't tell us you forgot.
Well, yes, actually, I did. I'm only a brilliant scientist, not infallible or anything.
Didn't you write it down or anything?
Write it down? My dear silly girl, great minds have no need for small bits of paper. I never write down anything, as I remember everything.
Except for the potion recipe that we happen to currently need.
But don't worry. The captain of the rats is sure to have left at least one or two of his supply. He bought quite a large amount, as I recall.
Why would rats need memory potions?
I think it had something to do with some kind of threat. And enemies. And tunnels. It sounded quite dangerous.
Where can we find this captain, and what can we expect when we meet him?
He commands the rats who live on the shores of Coral Lake.
And where is this lake?
I may have a map which could lead you there. Here you go. Oh, and do not be afraid of the rats. They're benign creatures, even if they're a bit gritty.
Thank you, Voltum. Bye.
Prepared to leave for Coral Lake. Evening fell and brought with it a warm glow of red and orange that gently painted the trees and leaves around them. The Wraith, still somewhat insecure in Mirilia's company, had taken to wearing his hood again. The wind was still, and though the weather was chilly, they were heartened by a new sense of direction as they set off into the wild.
Can I see that map?
Of course. Here it is.
There seems to be a big, scary-looking tree on the map. Not that far from where we are now.
It doesn't matter. We won't be going that way.
There's also a big bird drawn next to it. Coral Lake is so far off. Do you think maybe that bird
could fly us over there? Mirilia, are you being serious?
What? Why not? We elves have always shared a bond with the animals of the woods.
Sparrows and snow mice are one thing, but a big bird like that, one that nests near a huge, ominous-looking tree at that...
Wraith!
Yes. Yes, I feel it also.
What's that fog?
This is not natural mist. Listen. All has gone quiet.
And it's so dark all of a sudden. Don't you think we should leave this place?
The mist. It's turning black.
Wraith, don't you think we should go?
No. No, we can't go.
This looks dangerous.
Hide under my cloak. I will keep you safe.
Wraith, what about you? Are you safe?
Wraith?
Shh.
Ruth, are you all right?
The mist. Mist is gone. We're safe.
I heard horrid things. Did you see anything?
Don't ask, Miralia. It was terrible. Like a wave of evil washing over me. It was so dark. And so, I prefer not to talk about it.
I understand. I think. You don't need to tell me if you don't want to.
I don't. I admit it would be a relief to tell you, but I'm not sure what will happen if I do.
Whatever you have to tell me, I listen.
I know. What hurt me was not the darkness, but what I saw of myself within that darkness.
Wraith.
Why do you not fear me, Miralia? The black fog, I have all the looks of an evil creature. Why would I be any different from the evil I just kept you from?
I don't know. I just trust you. Even before I laid eyes on you, I already trusted you. I don't know why.
Sounds like that bird of yours. We should sleep now and make for the tree in the morning.
Everything looks different here. So bare. And the branches of the trees look black.
That must be the work of the black mist.
Are we close to the tree?
I think we are, Miralia. Look over there. It could hardly be called a tree. Rather, it looked like a black branching tower of sickness, a looming sinister shape, bursting with wounds from which thick gleaming sap oozed like pus. It was nearly as tall as Mirilia's beloved home tree, and what was even more disturbing were the many mushrooms that hung askew on the bark, all dead and rotting.
Those were once elf homes. But there's no light now, and no voices to be heard.
Do you want to enter?
Yes. I want to know what happened there. I never knew there were other elven villages in the woods.
If there is anything that I do know, it's that the woods are infinite, and no one knows all the creatures that live in them.
I have to enter and find out about this.
Very well, but let me go with you.
Hello? Is anybody there?
There's no point, Miralia. Look at the state of this place.
You never know, Wraith. Look. Stairs, just like inside our tree.
Does your people tree look similar to this one on the inside?
Well, it's a lot nicer looking, of course. But so much is the same. The mushroom houses. The great winding stair on the inside. I don't think I like this. Suppose we'd better go upstairs.
Careful. I think the wood might be... Take my hand!
Thank you, Wraith. This is a door to one of the mushrooms. Should we enter?
In the middle of the empty mushroom, on the floor, there lay a corpse. It did not belong to an elf,
or to any other creature Mirilia had ever seen before. Its skin was so pale that blue veins could be seen running underneath, and its over-large head had an enormously protruding chin and nose, which made it resemble a crescent moon somehow. Its ears were very long and sharp like knives, and its almond-shaped eyes were entirely black and devoid of any expression. Its hair was dry, spiky, and white, sticking out of the skull like weeds on a rock. The creature lay on its back, illuminated by a pale ray of sunlight from the window.
I have to go.
Mirilia?
Mirilia? What's wrong? Come back.
Wraith, we have to get away from here. Terrible things have happened here. Terrible things. It's not right. It's not...
There. Don't be frightened. I don't think Nuzwick's been anywhere near this place. Besides, my face is depressing enough for the both of us. At least one of us should still be able to smile, don't you think?
You're right. Well. What have we here? I hope you little guys realize how dangerous this place is.
The eagle!
Woodland eagle. Girl, Aquila Crusator Sylvanis. You wouldn't like it if I were to just call you eagle. Now would you?
But I'm not an eagle at all.
Or elf, or whatever it is you are. You bipedal things all look alike to me. Except for that miserable-looking fellow next to you, I suppose. Even I can see anything that ugly can't be an elf. So, what are you, then?
I am a wraith. A woodland wraith, to be precise.
Never heard of anything like that. But I have to say you look pretty suspicious to me. Almost as suspicious as the Dark Snatchers. You know, the creatures employed by the Black Hand to kidnap elven girls and drain their life essence in order to turn them into the dreaded Dorzals. Almost as suspicious as they are.
What's that supposed to mean?
I think I've made myself clear enough. And aren't little elves supposed to be quiet and listen when their elders are speaking?
If only your brain had the size of your beak, bird, then you'd know Mirilia is smarter than you guess, and beyond any doubt she is smarter than you are. How could I be when I don't even know what they are? In fact, I don't even know what I am.
Some illustrious figure once said, knowing yourself is the first step to wisdom.
I wander these woods looking for my true past. And Mirilia here is also searching.
Ah! And what might you be searching for, girl?
A friend?
Then what are you doing here, of all places? I hope for his sake that your friend didn't come by this place. The Dorzals have passed through here.
I don't think he did. No, we're on our way to Coral Lake to see the rats.
So your friend is a rat?
Must you know every detail, bird? We need to move on.
Very well. Though I have to say, if you're going on foot like that, it could take you quite a while. And if you have the misfortune of running into an angry boar on the road, well, you'd be dead before you could say noble eagle of the woods.
Oh, so there are noble ones.
All right. I understand. Now, if you have no further need of my comments, then I...
Grumpy. He's just not used to such esteem, distinguished and exalted company such as yourself, Lady... How should I address you?
Redlaw.
Redlaw! Such an aristocratic name. It just
radiates the pure class usually associated with woodland eagles. Do you happen to be a descendant of the wise and mighty, Retlus the Third? The imperial eagle lord of the western mountains of pure greatness?
Well, yes. Yes, I am, in fact. So you recognize his countenance in my noble, aquiline features?
Oh, certainly. Of course, of course. It's just such an honor to be given the privilege of having an actual conversation with one as supernaturally wonderful such as yourself.
Yes, I suppose being allowed to grovel before my mighty talents feels quite elevating to you. Very well. Ask away.
Ask?
Yes, girl. Ask what you were going to ask me.
I haven't the faintest idea what you mean. Oh, great Redler, we're far too insignificant and puny to ever travel to Coral Lake on your majestic wings.
That may be what you think, but the truth is that my kindness is as boundless as my greatness. So I will allow you to climb onto my back and fly with me. I just wish you could have taken a bath or two before takeoff. Oh, well, can't be helped. Come on, hop on. I haven't got all day.
Mirilia and the Wraith mounted Riddler's back as she spread out her wings and took to the air. The eagle quickly ascended into the wide blue sky, and even the Wraith had to admit that there was a graceful beauty to the way she soared majestically over the treetops. As the woods glided past underneath them, Mirilia kept her eyes firmly shut with fear, until the Wraith asked her to relax and take in the beauty of the view. As he comforted her, the fear slowly subsided. She gingerly opened her eyes and experienced the vast grandeur of the woods. For the first time in her life, she could truly feel the mysterious will of the woods. She sensed how everything in this world was connected, from the tiny mouse to the mighty oak, to even the clear skies high above, where she herself now flew on Redler's back.